Thank you, Mrs. Payne. That was a blessing. All right, everybody's over in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says there, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who brought faith, who through faith and patience inherited the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Then we go over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Then let's go over to verse 17 and verse 18. It says, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark and it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Bible here, of course, is talking about the promise. We read it in Hebrews, where God talked about the promise that he had given Abraham. Then we go over to Genesis and we get the detail that actually happened in that story. We're going to talk about from promise to performance. From promise to performance. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. God, what a blessing it is to open up your word. Now, God, we just need you to meet with us. If you meet with us, then all of our needs will be met and taken care of. Lord, I pray that you do that this evening. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. We find in Genesis chapter 11, Abram at that time was mentioned for the very first time in the Bible. And then in chapter 12, we find that God comes to Abram and it says, Abram, I want you to leave your home city, your home country, and I want you to go on a journey. Where? Wherever I lead you. And then in chapter 13, we have Lot and Abraham. They split. They go their own ways. Lot goes down to the Jordan, the well-watered plains of Jordan. And Abraham, he goes his way. In chapter 14, we find Abraham freeing Lot from being enslaved by the kings that came in and took him captive. So we find Abraham in a battle. Those three, four chapters, we find Abraham being in trials. Then in chapter 15, we find Abraham having a vision and God coming to Abraham and saying, Abraham, I want you to come to this plain. I want you to look abroad. I want you to look up into the sky. I want you to see all the stars in the sky. And if you've ever been in the country, there's nothing like the sky that has no lights. It's incredible as far as city lights and different things like that. When it's pitch black outside, the stars are just brilliant. And there's millions of them. They didn't have electricity back then. So Abraham, of course, he's standing out there. And he looks up in the sky and he says, my goodness. God says, go ahead, try to count all those stars. Abraham says, it's useless, Lord, I can't count them. God says, that's how great a multitude your inheritance will be. That's how great a multitude your family will become. You see, in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, Abraham went through some trials in his life. Then God comes on the scene, chapter 15, and says, Abraham, I want to give you a promise. I want to give you the promise. And I love the timing of that promise. Right after he went through all those trials, God meets up with him and says, let me give you a promise. Isn't that the way it goes? You go through trial in your life and you go through a struggle in your life. And then God meets up with you, maybe in the darkness of the night, maybe in the early dawn in your Bible reading. in your own devotions, God meets with you and then gives you a promise. Man, I love that. When God gives me my own promise, I can eat on it all day long. Kind of like those sheep out there we used to raise. You'd watch them eat in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they wouldn't be eating, but they'd be chewing. Kind of makes you wonder what they're chewing on. Amen. It's called the cud. They just ate on that all day long. Man, a Christian that gets a promise from God, and he eats on that promise, holds on to that promise all the way through that trial. But God met up with Abraham and said, Abraham, I have a promise for you. The promise is I will give you a great multitude for your family. A preacher went up to see one of his church members in a care center facility. And as he got there, he saw his member, a church member down the hall in a wheelchair. As he got closer, he saw a book was on his lap. And as he got a little bit closer, he saw that it was the Bible. He pulled up a chair, he started sitting with him, and he couldn't help but see in that man's Bible, in the margins, the word proved, 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 proved. And the pastor said, what's the word proved mean? He said, those are the promises that I personally have seen God prove in my life. Amen. The preacher got excited. That's a blessing. God's promises are not like the promises we hear from the presidential candidates today. I will guarantee you when I get in office, this whole thing will be changed. Anyways, we could go on, but it's not like that. Praise God, it's not like that. And 4 years later, you think, all right, yeah, that was a great promise. Never kept. But God's promises, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world was created. Promised before the world was created. God that cannot lie. I love that phrase. God that cannot lie. So in other words, if God gives you a promise in your personal devotions, or God gives you a promise maybe when you're seeking His face over something, you can just hold on to that, and you can just you can go ahead and believe that that promise is going to come to pass. Hudson Taylor was going to take set up a banking account in England. As he went to the bank and he was talking to the banker gave him a sheet and he said, I want you to list all your assets. He got that piece of paper and he wrote on there £10 and all the promises of God. Amen. £10 and all the promises of God. You can just guarantee it. The person that claims the promises of God is one of the richest people on this planet Earth. Why? Because God's promises always come true. They always come true. You and I, we've walked up and down these promises, these pages in our Bible, and every promise that you have read, it'll come true. Every promise. I want to bring just a couple things to you, to your attention, about the promises of God. First of all, the promises of God are definite. The promises of God are definite. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Have you ever talked to somebody and they said, well, I promise I might be at your house at certain time? Huh? You just kind of look at them and what? Or I promise I may get that job done. Or I promise I think, huh? Think what in the world? What kind of a statement is that? God says, I promise, and it's going to be 100% guarantee that it's going to come to pass. All of God's promises are like that. Let me show you a couple promises. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I love the next word, will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I like Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. He says, come unto me me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It sounds pretty definite, doesn't it? I will. He says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs. Amen? My God shall supply thy needs. John chapter 14 and verse 3, he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will. Don't you love those words? Those are definite verbs, praise God. I can hold on to them. It's a definite promise from God. It's not gonna fade away. It's guaranteed to come to pass. Thank God we got a Bible chock full of those kind of promises. All you have to do is just lay a hold of them. I can remember, I'll tell the story about my brother. Amen. He's not here, but I know he won't mind. I can remember my mom coming out of the room after some special extracurricular activity. Came out of the room and she would tell my dad, this thing is just not going to work. He is not listening. I don't think this thing works. My dad said, yes, we will just keep on doing this. And the Bible promises, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I just got a call today from my brother in Panama. He said, Caleb, you wouldn't believe it. We had a great Sunday, the first Sunday of our deaf work down here. He said, we have a 15-passenger van. We got 38 kiddos in there. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. That sounds great. Brother Payne, we can set up 120 on the buses. 140. Amen. That's a blessing. Train up a child in the way you should go. The promise was given. You just stick to that promise and it will come to pass. God said, I will. I shall. It's not I maybe might. I could if I really want to. No, it's a definite promise from God. Man, praise God. We have a definite promising God. The promise of God has no expiration date. Praise the Lord. Have you ever walked up and down the store aisles and you look at the different labels and you find some that are outdated? You think, I'm not going to buy that. Man, it's outdated before I even purchase it. And it'll sit in the refrigerator at least a week. I'm not going to get that. And you find outdated items. You and I can walk up and down the promises of God's Word. There's not one promise that is outdated in this old black book. Praise God. These are promises that never expire. I remember when we traveled with Brother Boyd. One summer, it was getting hot. We had done some visitation. The dean of men was driving the van, and we pulled into a gas station. We were all going to get different drinks. He decided he was going to get milk. Praise the Lord for milk. He popped that thing open. He chugged it down. About halfway down, he realized that the milk was sour. Oh, man, he wanted to spit that. He rolled the window down, and he got rid of that real quick. Amen. But the promises of God, never will you grab a promise that God has written in the book of life, in the Bible. Never will you grab a promise and think to yourself, man, that was horrible tasting. I can't believe it. That promise was expired. That promise doesn't exist anymore. No, all the promises of God are just as fresh as when God pronounced them the day that they were written in the Bible. All the promises are fresh. They don't expire. They aren't old. They aren't stale. They are fresh, thank God. The promises of God are fresh for us. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. And the verse goes on. It's talking about Jesus Christ returning. But the Bible says God is not slack concerning His promise. The word slack means late. The word slack means delayed. God never is delayed in fulfilling His promise. He always shows up right on time, right when you need Him. It seems like it's going to be a disaster and you've been holding on to the promise the whole time, and God always comes through. Thank God we have a God that makes sure that His promises aren't late. They're always on time. They might not be on our time, but they're always on time. The promises of God are certain, but they don't all mature in one day. The promises of God are all certain, but they don't all mature in one day. So if it was good enough for Abraham back here in Genesis, then it was good enough for Moses. If it was good enough for Moses, then it was good enough for Joshua. If it was good enough for Joshua, then it was good enough for Gideon. If it was good enough for Gideon, then it was good enough for David. If David said, that's a promise, that's a good promise, I'll put that one in my life, I'll hold on to that one, then it was good enough for Solomon. If it was good enough for Solomon, then it was good enough for Isaiah. And if it's good enough for Isaiah, then it's good enough for Jeremiah. If it's good enough for Jeremiah, then it's good enough for Ezekiel. And if it's good enough for Ezekiel, then it's good for Malachi. And Malachi for Matthew, Matthew for John, Mark, John, Acts, or Acts, yeah, amen. For those men of the Bible, for the Apostle Paul, it was good for them. And you know what? It's still good enough for you and I to hold on to and say, I'm not going to let it go. It will not expire. Praise God. What a God that promises an unexpiring promise. It just keeps on going. It keeps on going. I can remember growing up, my mom had a bread maker. I love bread makers. She had the dough hooks. Actually, it wasn't the bread maker, but it was the dough hooks. And we would make bread. I would make some bread, and then she would make bread, and we would make bread about every other day. We'd put out about, the machine did about six loaves, four to five loaves. But I'll never forget the nights when I'd go to bed and I'd hear those dough hooks going around and around and around, and then finally fall asleep. And then shortly after, I'd be awakened by a smell of wonderful fresh bread. I'd come down the steps and I'd come into the kitchen, and they're just in time. I don't know how it all worked out, but it always happens. She's just pulling it out of the oven. Amen. I love fresh bread. I mean, not the bread that has sitting and cooled off. I mean, the hot bread. You pull that off, and then, of course, you say, Mom, please, can you just give me one slice with a little bit of butter? Please, Mom, just one slice. And I would cut a slice, amen, a slice of bread, good enough for a midnight snack. And I cut that slice, and then you get that butter, not margarine, the real thing. What's that other stuff they have? New Balance or something like that. That stuff isn't butter either, eh? But it's the real stuff. You get that butter, and of course the kitchen has been hot with the stove going, and so the butter isn't hard, it's soft, and it's real spreadable. You get a good chunk of a little swath of that, and you stick it on there, and you spread it all over the place, and then you just have a good old time. Man, I love that. Fresh bread out of the oven. Sometimes in your Christian life, you're going through a trial just like Abraham went through a trial. He just got back from fighting the kings. He just got back from freeing his brother. He just got done with his brother Lot, his nephew. He just got done splitting from his nephew the chapter before. Some trials in his life. And then God comes to him in chapter 15 and says, I'm going to give you a fresh promise. I know I mentioned something back in chapter 12, but I'm going to give you a fresh promise. I'm going to promise you that your people, your family is going to multiply as the stars of heaven. You talk about a promise. That's a promise, and it was fresh to him. And it's still fresh today, just like it was way back then. You're going through a trial in your life. You read the book of Psalms. You read the book of Proverbs. You get a promise out of God's Word. You just hold on to that thing. That thing will supply your needs. And it's just as fresh today as it was 2,000 years ago. Thank God we got a fresh promise for us. Just sitting there, all you have to do is walk past the shelf in the Bible and grab you off a promise. And it's yours to keep. There's no taxes on it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can grab it. You can have it. And God wants you to have it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. If he was the same back 6,000 years ago, then he was the same 2,000 years ago. And he's the same today. And he'll be the same in the millennium and for all eternity. Thank God. We have a God that keeps his promises. He's not outdated. He doesn't get outdated. There's a bunch of technology. You have a computer for 2 years and it's outdated. Probably less than that. You have a little gadget. You have it for 6 months and it's outdated. God has been in existence for eternity and he's still not outdated. Thank God we have a God whose promises don't expire because he is unchanging. Bless the Lord for that. The promises of God. From the promise to the performance. From the promise to the performance. Thirdly, the promises of God are as good as the one backing them. The promises of God are as good as the one who backs them. And let's read over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. I read this. This made me so excited. I want to get up on my swing. I wanted to jump on my swing in the backyard. Man, I was so excited. Verse 13, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Because he could swear by no greater. He said, "I look throughout all the earth. There's nobody greater." Amen. He's God. He's God. He says, "There's no one greater. So I myself will stand behind this promise, Abraham. I personally will stand here and I will back up this promise." Remember 1934? They took the gold standard away from our dollar bills. We go in, there is no gold strip there anymore. There is no backing. It's a legal note, but there is no gold in the dollar. God's promises, he backs. And he backs them for all eternity. You talk about a pretty good God to back his promises. He stays there. The Bible says in verse 13, he swear by himself. He swear by himself. Let's find out what kind of God backs our promises over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. He tells us a little bit about himself. If I were to have a promise that I was going to receive, I wouldn't want somebody that was known as the town liar to be backing that thing. I wouldn't want somebody that is known when I say, "Well, so-and-so promised that they would be here and that they would help me out." And then the person that I'm telling that to says, "Oh, that person, yeah." Man, I wouldn't want my promises backed by that kind of person. I want my promise backed by a God of the universe. I love chapter 40 and verse 12. It says, "Who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord or bringing his counsel hath taught him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. They are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Verse 17 says, "All nations before him are as small as things, and they are counted to him less than nothing." Or all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Verse 22 says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." You talk about an awesome God. An awesome God that can take the universe and he can lay the foundations of the earth. I love over in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse, I think it's verse 12. He says, "My hand spans the universe." I love that. That word "hand" is singular. One hand spans the universe. What a mighty God we serve, huh? And that is who backs the promises in the Word of God.
It is that God that has measured the weight of the hills, and that God that has weighed the mountains, and that God that looks at mankind and considers them as grass in verse 22 of that chapter. That's the God that backs the promises that you need for your trials. Abraham says, Lord, I just went through the trial of splitting from family. God, I just went through the trial of delivering Lot. God, I just went through the trial of leaving my home, home country. God says, I know. I'll give you a promise too. And it's fresh, and it'll be fresh today, and it'll be fresh tomorrow, and it'll be fresh 10 years from now, and it'll be fresh 10,000 years from now. It'll be fresh for eternity. And then he said, I myself will back it. He says, I'll take the animal and I'll split it down the center. I'll lay the animal out, and I'll take the fiery furnace, and I myself will walk between, showing that it is myself that makes the commitment with you, Abraham. Wow. That wasn't just for Abraham. I think in Romans chapter 4 it says, we have a God that is not a respecter of persons. So Abraham had God backing his promises. That must mean that you and I have God, we have God backing our promises. I am confident that God has my promises in secure hands. I'm glad I don't have to say, yes, my promises are backed by a dead body in a grave somewhere. Huh? My God lives. He's a living God. Praise the Lord. He backs my promises. It's not a dead carcass in a cemetery somewhere. It's the living God. That's who backs my promises. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, he says, and being fully persuaded. I think I'd be fully persuaded if I saw the fiery furnace walking past the center of those two pieces of animal sitting there. I think I'd be persuaded. I'm fully confident that God is able to do what He promised. It says there, what He hath promised, He was able also to perform. It says, I am fully persuaded. I saw the fire go through that animal. I know who holds my promise. It's the God of the universe. And that's who holds your promises as well. Now let me bring this right down to where we are. Those things are great about the promises of God. Yes, they don't expire. They're definite. They don't expire. And God backs them. But in verse 12 it says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. Verse 15 it says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured. The promise can be given one day, but oftentimes there's a great time before the promise is performed. What matters is what you're doing in the middle. Are you fretting? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you shaking your fist at God and saying, God, you promised that this was going to happen. Look at my life. Abraham said, I'm old, Lord. You promised way back then I was going to have a child. I don't have a child. God, what are you doing here? And God said he endured until he obtained the promise. So the promise is given to you right here. Let's say the promise was given to you when you're a teenager. Let's say the promise was given to you when you're a young adult. And you're still maybe in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s. And the promise still has not come in to fruition. Then what? You just stay faithful. You stay faithful. The Bible says in verse 12, but be not slothful, but followers of those who faithfully and patiently, through faith and patience inherited the promise. They were faithful to what God told them to do. You say, God promised me this and it hasn't come to pass. What you need to do is just every day, You do the same thing you know you're supposed to do. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in your prayer. Be faithful to the church services. Be faithful to that ministry, whether it's the nursery or whether it's the bus route or whether it's the Sunday school ministry. Whatever it is, you be faithful to that. You just keep on serving the Lord. Keep on serving the Lord. And eventually, one day, verse 15 is going to pop up in your life. You're going to obtain the promise. You're going to obtain the promise. You say, I'm going through some difficult times in my life. Okay? You need to walk the pages of the good old black book. Walk the pages of the good old black book and pick you out some good promises. The promises won't have an expiration date on it. You go ahead and you hold on to those promises. Keep on holding on. And while you're holding on to those promises that God gave you, you just keep on doing what's right. Every day you do what's right. I know, God, you're behind this promise. I know this promise will come in sometime. I know you will bring it. You'll perform it in my life. You gave it to me. And you keep on doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. I think of Simeon. Simeon was an old man. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Simeon was an old man. But God told him, before you die, you will see the promised child. You will see God incarnate. Simeon was faithful to the promise of God. He did what he was supposed to do in the temple. He did what he was supposed to do. And one day, through those doors, all of a sudden the doors opened and God, in a little wrapped up bundle, came through those doors. And Simeon said, well, glory to God, the promise came to pass. Amen. I held on to the promise. I'll just keep on holding on to that promise. You have to do the same thing in your life. You're going through a trial. You're going through a heartache. Hold on to that promise. It will come to pass. From the promise to the performance. From the promise to the performance. Yes, you have all those great things about the promises of God. But what you need to do is just keep on being faithful in those small things. Keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful. God says, that person I will bless. That person I will give the blessing, the promise. I'll perform the promise for them. I'll perform the promise for them. Are you going through a tough time in your life? Going through a struggle? Do you got a Bible verse for it? Emily was going through a little situation, and we had, she's got a nightstand right beside her side of the bed. And it was a couple of days that all of a sudden I saw a book appear on her nightstand. It was the book of the promises of God. And each night she would just read those promises, go through several pages of promises. And she would share those promises with me. And it blessed her heart. And it gave her strength. Gave her strength just to keep on going. And to do what God wants. But those promises, it makes all the difference in the world. If you got a promise, think, boy, I can make another day. I can go another day. God has given me this promise. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.